welcome to episode 210 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we, guys?
Going well, Jace. Middle of spring, sun shining, birds are singing, deals are happening. It's a good time of year. Liking it. Nick, how are you, my friend?
Going good, Marty. Going good. It's, middle of spring. That's good. What's happening out there in the market?
Well, I said birds are singing. Oh. I didn't say anything happening in the market. There are deals happening, which is good.
No, things are good, mate. We're just waiting for a rate drop. We think it's getting closer, which is good. People are up and about at the moment. It's good. Liking it. Enjoying it.
Jace, how are you, my friend?
Mate, good, real good. I mean, if you can get through the hard slog that are the winter months, especially in the accounting profession, May, June, July, August, just hell on earth. It's just busy. It's just a rough time in the profession. You just try and keep the morale up and about. Then September rolls through, you know, footy finals, all that jazz, and then, you know, we're on the home straight. I mean, everyone's been talking about Christmas for the last couple of months. So, you know, the countdown's on. We're up and about, and we've got plenty of good things to talk about on the numbers game, Marty. You've got an exciting topic for us today.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about ensuring you get pre-approved. Otherwise, you're going to lose in this type of market. And I'm seeing some very good signs in the Melbourne market that I wanted to talk about today. And we've talked about this in the past. And I think Nick on the 200th episode thought there might be a rate reduction possibly in December, I think you said, Nick, and I was sort of Feb. I think this is coming to roost. We're just seeing, you know, a lot of the fixed rates head downwards. I'm looking at the commercial side of the business where even on short-term debt, that's coming down as well. So we're seeing some interesting activity, which makes me think that, you know, we're not too far away. And just to give you an indication of what spring is doing, there's a fresh abundance of stock coming onto the market. And with softer demand in Melbourne and Sydney, I just think, again, this backs up our idea that the Melbourne market's going to do pretty well. And there's certainly an appetite with buyers wanting to buy and vendors that want to sell. And just some historic data, you know, year-on-year increase in pre-approval activities is 40% up on August, September last year. So we're actually very, very bullish on that in regards to pre-approvals. In Queensland, it's 29% up year-on-year, and New South Wales is third with 13% up on pre-approvals. The other interesting data is we're starting to see property listings increase. So we're up around about 10% overall. So that is a very good sign that vendors are starting to make their move. And probably a month ago, there were a lot of agents out there saying there were a lot of appraisals, but they weren't sort of committing to listing. And we're starting to see the front end data that actually is now turning into listings. So this is a good sign because we're looking for activity. The other interesting stat from a study shows that 43% of Australians looking to buy a home in the current market, with 19% of those buyers looking to buy this spring. So again, that's really bullish. That was only around 34% last year, with only 14% buyers looking to buy in the spring. So there's a dramatic increase in appetite to buy, vendors looking to sell, and this is an exciting time. And I think if I look to the next, you know, 3 to 6 months and we start to get rate cuts, I think we're going to be in a really good position and there's going to be a lot of activity in the market. But this is the reason why I wanted to bring this up, is you have to get pre-approved and have a legitimate pre-approval under your belt, because you cannot afford to have a rough idea as to what you can borrow, because if there's that many buyers in the market, you want to be in a position of strength when you make an offer, particularly as the Melbourne market's price has not gone up. It's been about 5-6 months on end where the price has come down on property in Melbourne, just slightly. but it means that while affordability is still where it's at in what people can afford and it's not dramatically increasing, then your capacity to borrow and getting the specifics around what your maximum borrowing capacity is pivotal to getting your dream home. You do not want to miss out on a home for 20 to 50 grand, you know, and that's going to be a lack of work and you're not getting the advice up front. So this is a must coming up. Resonate, Nick?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the only thing I'd add to that is don't wait. I think if you're thinking about getting into the market, now is the time to do it. And I'm soloing Melbourne here. I look at the area that I live in and there's absolutely no doubt that prices have gone backwards in comparison to where they were sort of 3 to 4 years ago. So, you know, if you're a property upgrader or someone looking to get into the market, now's the time to do it. I think it's pretty clear that the next rate cut or the rate move will be down, just a matter of when, as you've pointed out, Marty. And then depending on the time is when you're listening to this, but yeah, we're looking at rate reductions overseas. So it's all good signs, but you don't want to be with anything, with any kind of purchase. You don't want to be with the herd. You want to be ahead, and the reality is it's the opportunity is there now like it hasn't been in quite some time. So you need to be prepared, and I would just say to bring it forward and get it done as soon as you can. That's probably the only other thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, the chance of you missing out and people leaving it later down the track, like if rates do come down, and particularly in Melbourne, if prices are going to escalate, you're going to price yourself out anyway in regards to the higher price points in the future. So you've got to think about what's available to you now and make a decision based on that. But I think it is currently a buyer's market because there will be, for the first time in a while, an oversupply of stock coming onto the market. So it means with affordability, price points won't necessarily be jumping up in the short term. So you can really play the position well to buy in that next 6 months and I think come out of it for a position of strength. And a lot of time what borrowers forget about is that there's so much discrepancy in regards to what you can afford from one lender to another. Like, and this is, I'm probably having a crack at banks here, but if you go directly to a bank, you're not optimizing your strategy or your maximum capability other than it being luck because you've gone directly to one lender. And in this type of market, you need every sort of edge you can get. And not only do different lenders service different amounts, but also in regards to living costs, how lenders take into account different living costs in different ways, not to mention stage three tax cuts that people don't even recognize their borrowing capacity has increased. There's a number of different levers that can get you that extra 20, 50, 75 grand that could mean the difference of you securing a property, the agent having confidence in you in taking that offer and getting into that market. So it's really important that you dot your I's and cross your T's. Don't just look at, you know, digital websites and get a rough indication because you will miss out if you don't get the advice now. So I just wanted to make that as a very important point at the moment. Jace, I can see you thinking away there.
Well, yeah, I mean, as somebody who probably falls into the 43% of Aussies that are looking to buy and then, you know, 19% looking to do it ASAP, you know, this spring, just like wondering from your point of view, do you have a few top tips on the main things to get across, you know, either before you go for a pre-approval or the things to expect as you're looking to do a pre-approval? Is there anything on the hit list that jumps to mind to help people get prepared?
Yeah, I think the reason why you see a professional is to know where you stand. So you want to know exactly how much of a deposit you need. You want to know if there's any red flags as well. Like, have you not paid a phone bill to do a credit check? Make sure your credit check's okay as well. You want to know what your max limit is. So it might be you're only looking to buy for, let's say, 750, but your max limit is a mil. So you want to know that because you don't want to go in for 750, the property go for 770 and going, you know what, we would have bought that. And that happens. A lot of people miss out on the property that they want because of that factor alone. they haven't pressure tested their capabilities. So the other thing is, you know, just keeping expenses in check too. You know, you don't want to be overspending all over the place because, you know, a lot of lenders will look at that data of what's going through your account month to month for the last 3 months, and they'll make an assessment on that, even though they have sort of what they call HEM metrics of where they think it'd be for a couple with two children, but or a single applicant, but they'll still look at the actuality of what the expense is. So you want to get some control over that as well. But you want to know where you stand. You want to be confident in your offer because you will be competing with more buyers than Melbourne has seen in the last couple of years. Because and it's not only first home buyers getting in. So landlords, yes, are still selling, probably at the wrong time because they're not getting the advice, you know, and you know, it's going to kick again. But first home buyers are buying. But what I read in the data over the weekend is that the people with kids that are in townhouses are now thinking about making that move and upsizing. So the upsizing market has genuine interest as well. And the people that even didn't have debt, let's say, are now thinking about, you know what, market stabilizing, top range of the interest rates, we might like to sell and buy something else as well. So people are making decisions that they want to move on property. And as confidence continues to grow, that will continue to happen. So I think you've got this fantastic window in the next 6 months to really make your move at a good price. And then again, as we start to fill that supply, then Melbourne's got room to grow, as we know. So yeah, but I think, yeah, know your numbers and go in with strength, and use a mortgage broker to advantage too. Like even when you're talking to a real estate agent, it's a full approval, a pre-approval you're looking for, not just a computer says yes, like Little Britain, but and the numbers haven't been done. Get your I's dotted, your T's crossed, and go in with confidence, make strong offers, and you know, win that opportunity for yourself and your family.
Marty, typically from start to finish, how long, you know, would you expect a pre-approval to take if somebody's well organized, got their documents? What does the start to finish process look like?
Well, really, it's a day of doing the discovery process. Like, it takes about an hour sitting with a client, half an hour to an hour. From there, documents are accumulated, documents are signed within 24 hours, and you can pretty much within a week have a fully approved pre-approval. So yeah, if there's a few red flags, might take a little bit longer to work through, but that's what we're here for, to discover what they could be up front, to ensure when we're going to the lender that you're in a position of strength. So we want to alleviate any of those concerns up front and make sure once we go to the lender, at the end of the day, mortgage brokers are representing you as a client, and we put you in the best strength of position to have a favourable result. And that's really important as well. And look, like I said, there's lots of different things in servicing capacity, but policy as well. There's no one person that's the same as another. And, you know, people think about the online digital platforms that give you a rate, and it's for probably 15% of the transactions out there. But ultimately, every person has a story, and if you sit with a professional, work through that story, that's where you discuss your needs, objectives, any pain points to solve, and you do that up front so you can ensure a really, really positive result for what your goal is to secure that dream property ultimately.
And just from a, you know, my point of view is picking your brain, it almost seems like I might be coming to you for a pre-approval soon. Does a pre-approval get you a document from the one lender that you decide, like that the mortgage broker helps you to go with, that best tailors your scenario, or are you kind of pre-approved across a couple of different lenders potentially?
Generally, we have a position of strength with, you know, generally around three lenders. Sometimes it is only one, but you definitely, whichever lender you decide that the best match is for that client, is you get an approval in principle documented, and that will last you for 90 days. And if it has to be re-looked at in that time, that can be done as well. And it's a lot easier on the back end because you've done all the work up front to extend it. But generally, we find that a lot of people are actually executing on their pre-approvals within that 90 days. And recently, it's even been more accelerated. Like, people are finding properties within 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And it's, so we could tell that the activity is strong with people who want to know where they stand and now executing and finding property, which is exciting as well.
it's probably going to be a really weird example to use, but the way I think about getting a pre-approval right now, as I'm getting quite excited by it, you know, if you want to go for a run, but you don't get your running gear out for the next morning, you can kind of wake up and go, oh, no, it's too hard. I hear so many people talking about wanting to buy a house, but they don't put themselves in the position to buy. So I'm kind of comparing the, you know, getting organized and putting your running gear out is the same as, you know, get your pre-approval sorted. And if you want to buy a house, you're then actually going to put yourself in the box seat to be able to secure the property that you're after if you've kind of done that work to get organized.
Yeah, and I think, Jace, for me, I've been around for generations, but I've seen people that have said to me from 15 years ago, thank God we got that extra 20 grand at the time. And now that property that was 550 is worth, you know, 1.1, 1.2. They go, imagine if we didn't go to our maximum at that time. And I feel like, and every individual circumstance is different with what they can afford and everything as well. So you need to do what's wise in your own head. But again, it's like the Melbourne property market has been pretty dormant for 3 years. You know, so it's like you want to be in a position that that extra 20 grand could mean, you know, 400, 500,000 in 10 years. And that's going to be, the debt becomes cheaper as properties grow in time. And it's like that 20 to 50,000 is going to be, you know, really of no consequence in the longer term. Still got to play it smart. You got to make sure you're okay with the repayments and everything. We do all that. But it's, I just bring that up because I've seen people externally that I've spoken to miss out on property and miss out on that upside. And then if the property market does kick and they got to buy for 200 grand more, that's a lot more expensive, right? So, you know, we've got a window here and I'm just, being a bit adamant on it that this window won't be there forever and you do have to play your cycles. And we're in a good cycle in Melbourne at the moment and we can get on the front end of that wave rather than being on the back end and being disappointed.
Absolutely love it. Nick?
Well, yeah, I only had a couple of points. Marty stole one of them, but I'll just reiterate because it's spot on. But, just stretch yourself. Yeah, like the one thing I've learned in 17 years of doing home loans is that first property, really any property that you buy, very rarely is it comfortable. It's just not. You always think, holy shit, I've overspent here. Like I could nearly say that about 99% of the people that I've dealt with. And look, the reality is if you're in a particular market, as in type of property and suburb, the price is what people are willing to pay. So, you know, if you set your limit at, you know, 800K or $1 million and everything keeps going from $1,050,000, then you're in the wrong market. That's just the reality. So I really like what Marty said. Go to your max and absolutely be prepared to be uncomfortable because it always is a tough pill to swallow when you buy that place. Everyone goes over. Very rarely that they don't. And I'm sure there are circumstances over there where people haven't gone over what they think their max is, but generally they go more than what they would like to spend, I guess is the best way to explain it. So be prepared to do that. And the only other thing I'm hearing, which is just simple maths really, but when people say, oh, look, yeah, we're thinking about upgrading, but it's not the time to sell. Well, it's the time to sell because it's the time to buy. So, you know, I'm not trying to be a smart ass here, but you've got to do the simple maths. If you're in a $1 million house, and you need a bigger house because you've had an extra child or, you know, you want that family home, you know, and the market's down 5%. Well, the 5% you lose on your property, which is 50 grand, on the $2 million house, you're picking up 100 grand. So just make sure you're thinking about that. I know it seems simple, but a lot of people don't think that way. They think, oh, we shouldn't sell ours. We're not going to get the right price. But you're selling it to get a cheaper price on the next one. So as long as you're buying in the same markets that is, and most people generally are, so just think about the whole transaction, not just, geez, our house isn't what we thought it was worth. Or in some circumstances, I was talking to someone the other day where their house has actually come back considerably, like almost by 10%. But they know they're going to get that 10% on the next one, which is that bigger asset that they wanted in the next 4 or 5 years. So they're considering just taking the loss on their house because they know they're going to pick it up and some on the next acquisition. So That's the thought process you need to have in this market that is down a little bit. And the opportunity, we're talking about a down market, But Melbourne actually hasn't gone backwards. And obviously, the last few months has been some backwards trends, but over the 4 years, it's still grown. It's gone backwards with inflation. So, and then we're now talking about that next leg up. So there is definitely opportunity there because it's not going back any further. Well, not to a greater deal.
I think the market's come to that conclusion too, Nick. I think people are sort of held out, seeing what's going on. It's been 2 years, 3 years, and are now going, right, it's always great to upsize in a sideways market, you know, because, you like you said, you're getting value on the new buy and, you know, it just makes sense. But I think the market's starting to understand that and they're going, this is the time, and that's why we're seeing increased listing, increased buyer activities. It's a momentum game as well. And if there's still a sort of a you know, there's enough supply, it doesn't mean property's going to go up in the interim, but I guarantee as rates come down and borrowing capacity goes up again, then there's going to be a spike because people are going to stretch further and further. So I'm just sort of helping those without force, just directing and saying, you know, 6 month window and you can do really well here, particularly in Melbourne.
Yeah, 100%. And just to cut in with a little bit of a warning as well, just some things that we're seeing at accounting side and future side. We've got a lot of investors or property owners that are basically looking to sell because, you know, interest rates have gone up and they're worried their property's gone backwards and that, you know, they're not making the money they thought they'd be making on their property. You know, what I would say is before you rush to do anything with that property, you know, speak to a mortgage broker and a financial advisor who can actually map out how the next couple of years are looking from a projections and property point of view, just to kind of get a deeper understanding of the numbers. I think when we make emotional decisions and say, oh, geez, well, the property lost 10 grand this year or 5 grand or it's affecting my cash flow. We've come through the worst of it though, you know, as far as we're concerned. We're thinking we're going to see some rate reductions soon and we're on the verge, especially if the property's, you know, Melbourne or Victoria based, you know, we're thinking we're going to see some pretty good upside in property prices. It'd be devastating if, you know, you offloaded your investment property now to miss out on that upside. You know, everyone's circumstances are different. So that's why I do stress to speak to your broker about what's happening with your home loan, speak to a financial advisor about, you know, what your options are. But yeah, don't rush out there and do something that you may live to regret down the track.
Yeah, great advice. So many people are 3 feet from gold and lose the opportunity. And again, even if you're in a position where you have to sell, then talking to a planner is paramount because at least you want to know what are the capital gains, what you could do to, you know, with that money, and have at least a plan of attack forward. And I know with just on the finance side, you know, just to refinance can save people money. But people are emotional. They're losing their minds over $50 a week. And that's, you know, there are deeper reasons for that, no doubt. But again, good to get the facts and get a blueprint forward so you can then, you know where you stand and execute, because it's a lot more costly to sell and then buy up again if that was an original hold strategy, right? So it's independent circumstances, but know your game and know the strategy and the play behind it. Very important.
Love it. Well, Marty, appreciate you sharing the pre-approve or lose. It's got me excited, and I think I'll be running home to Case to tell her to get her documents in order so we can get a meeting booked in with yourself, Marty, or one of the amazing team at Innovate. So if it sounds like something you want to do at home, definitely reach out to the Innovate team. They've got you covered for all your pre-approval needs. Until next time.
You're approved. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.